And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, but relatively concerned are we. But who's going to help us out? Help us understand. John Whitehead, founder and president of the Rutherford Institute. He's an attorney and author who has written, debated, and practiced widely in the area of constitutional law and human rights. Whitehead's concern for the persecuted and oppressed led him in 82 to establish the Rutherford Institute, a nonprofit civil liberties and human rights organization whose international headquarters are located in Charlottesville, Virginia. This has been, and it's not like he doesn't have enough to do. There's always, I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm looking for a case to represent and go and be somebody and, you know, humanity and rights of and so on. It's like, which one? Oh, my God. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Oregon standoff and what's going on there. But let me just give you the headlines of just the title of some of the articles just this month by John Whitehead. All right. So we got January. What are we starting off with here? Playing the government's game. When it comes to violence, we all lose. All right. We can talk about that. The state of the nation, a dictatorship without tears. What happens to a dream deferred? Ask Martin Luther King Jr. The right to tell the government to go to hell. Free speech in an age of government bullies, corporate censors, and compliant citizens. Circus politics. Will our freedoms survive another presidential election? Television, football, and politics. Gaming spectacles designed to keep the police state in power. This is just, you know, the last month. So I'm going, damn, man, just from the headlines, I wonder what John Whitehead's opinion about government is. Let's ask him directly. John, welcome back on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay, this is one thing that I want to make sure that we skip to the end on. Where are we at? What do you know? Give us an update on what's happening with the folks in Oregon. You're kind of a little bit closer to the situation. Tell us everything.
Well, we're helping Pete Santelli. He was the reporter who was streaming on YouTube, reporting what was going on there. He's been arrested now for, and the charges is conspiracy to impede a federal officer's in carrying out their duties. Those are the kind of charges you throw in when you want to arrest someone, but he's still in jail. We're helping his court-appointed lawyer, which he has out there right now, with the constitutional arguments. From what I hear, well, what I'm seeing, I mean, I watched the Lavoy Finicum, I watched the video with the so-called drone caught. Working with law enforcement officers, it looks like to me he was executed. That's my opinion after looking at it. And if he did have 9 bullets in him, which they're reporting right now, I don't know, if you look at that very carefully, here's the question I have. They have tasers now. There's a fellow who jumps up behind the bush and shoots the man. All I had to do was taser him, and he went down. Why'd they shoot him? They didn't need to shoot him at that time. His back was turned. So if you look at those things, you know law enforcement, you know what they have available to them. It really makes no sense, that situation. But we could talk about a little. I study the federal government. They are so armed and ready to go. I mean, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Food and Drug Administration, they all have armored vehicles, SWAT teams now. They're loaded with grenade launchers. They're getting ready for something. What, either that or they just like spending money, which I think both of those are true. Our money, by the way.
Well, they always got, we made a bunch of money on selling and doing and leasing out to the military these missiles and everything, and now they're just sitting there going to expire, and yeah, we need to use them so we can buy another
batch. That's not true. We did a study on all that military equipment that's going down to local policemen. 60% of it's brand new.
Really?
Well, listen, folks.
Well, I'm just saying in general, you know, you're talking
about. Who runs
about
the government? We know who runs the government. There was that 2014 Princeton study. They did a study of two decades, 20 years of policies, laws passed in Washington, D.C. The professors came to the conclusion we're ruled by a money elite. They called it an oligarchy. You can't affect anything in Washington, D.C., folks. I'm just telling you. It's run by the powerful and the rich, and it's a handful of people. They have a shadow government. They have, and people, you're talking about the website. They should go on and read about all the underground bunkers. I mean, those are proven facts. Washington Post reported they have underground bunkers now. They are ready, but they're not inviting us to the party, by what I'm saying here. They're not saying, you come over. We're going to make sure you escape if there's a crisis. By the way, people should pick up my book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People. It just came out. You get it on Amazon. I go through all this stuff. It's very clear. And I hopefully try to give some solutions in the book. But we're up against something. It's David Goliath. David versus Goliath. I'm not sure our slingshots will work as well as theirs.
Oh, I want to know the solution. I have a solution. To me, it's real simple. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? I mean, it's just a, you know, a freaking opinion. I just deal in public opinion. You know what? The first thing you need to do is I have the opinion that freedom of good government sucks. Okay, so there is everything else.
By the way, you saying that puts you in a threat assessment now.
Of course,
they're watching everything you're saying.
Hello.
Yeah, it's called a threat assessment. Yeah.
Well, this is, you know, we've seen this in China. They're starting to do their citizenship, you know, score of date me because I'm a good little doobie.
They're doing that here as well, yes.
Well, how? Where is this manifesting?
The Pentagon's running what they call threat assessment programs. They're watching all your Facebook posts, tweets, what you say on the air. And by the way, Pete Santilli, the guy that's in jail, we defended him a year and a half ago when he made a statement. He went home that night and the FBI was waiting on him. They're listening to radio programs of people like you, Ernest. This program, I know, and you know, they work with the NSA, CIA, FBI, by the way, as the ground troops. They know when they arrive at your door, by the way, right now, that they know exactly what you're saying, what you're doing. They create what they call a threat assessment. If you have a weapon, you're definitely a threat.
Yeah, see, I don't see, I'm going, wow, what would they see me as a threat to? I mean, do I
to have power? Power wants power. Power controls. That's evident. I mean, listen, you're talking to a constitutional lawyer. I sued and won a $1 million judgment against Bill Clinton in the Paul Jones case. I saw what the government looks like face up. It's so darn corrupt. I just referred to it as the beast. It is a beast.
I gotta
it's
ask
a blood-sucking,
you this.
Vampiric beast, and it's not going to be friendly to you. They're armed to the teeth. The Department of Homeland Security now has 1.6 million hollow point bullets at least.
Billion.
That agency alone.
Billion.
1.6 million.
It's
That's
million?
The low number. That's the low number.
Million? That ain't nothing. I do that on weekend. So, all right. So this is, I'm going, I thought it was something of billions of dollars. But
well, they say, no, it's 1.6 million. That's the official.
That's,
you know.
I guarantee
it's. But at the same time they put out that information, the Department of Agriculture said they had purchased 320,000 hollow point bullets. The Social Security Administration said they had purchased 200,000. Hollow point bullets for their agents.
Yeah.
The question I got, what in the hell does the Social Security Administration need with the SWAT teams and hollow point bullets?
Whenever the hell they need them. This is, you know, my whole thing, I just tell the man what my, you know, I would consider, you know, myself probably a bigger threat than they realize, but not in the way that they think. I'm just, what can I do to help Generation Next come to the opinion that they're bad. That's it. And what are you going to do? And how you're going to, you know, muster on the village green and do and come?
Think about this a second.
Yeah, just Finicum, the opinion. That's it. That's all I need.
You had Finicum shot out there. The left wing press. You have to call it that. They haven't said hardly anything. They've been silent. And by the way, let me tell you, folks. If your mouth is shut, you're saying a lot. You're not speaking up.
Silence.
They
is
haven't
definite.
Come out. They haven't examined this. They haven't said, "Hey, those guys have a good cause out there. Maybe they may not be doing it right." But they've been quiet. So you're dealing with a state-controlled, government-controlled press, in my opinion, in many ways.
Okay. During the break, I'm going to play a trailer. You know, go to the archive. It's That was a winter on fire, a winter of fire, something about the Ukraine thing and how that happened. I predict a lot of similarities.
Uncovering the secrets.
Okay, this is what I wanted to do. Have you, two things. One, I wanted to ask you, have you seen The Big Short yet?
The Big Short, what is that?
It's a movie, it's a, you know, Brad Pitt, Steve Carell, big...
I have not seen it, no.
Okay, you got to go watch the trailer, hell.
Okay, just The Big Short, okay, I'll definitely do it.
The Big Short, and it's all about the housing financial crisis of freaking... It's, you know, it's a blockbuster movie, I mean, you know, it just came out, and I went and saw it, and the main theme of the whole thing, are they, those, really that stupid, that corrupt, that incompetent, that malicious? It can't possibly be that bad. The entire movie is, oh, the hell they can't. Okay? So, and it's happening again. So I'm going, that The Big Short, that movie, just to have some cultural, you know, iconic context of everybody sees kind of Oscar winning whatever the hell. Yeah, I think it got nominated for an Oscar, too. The Big Short, you'd love it. And we went through... A lot of this we learned in 09, 10, we did a lot of coverage, and I go, wow, is it that bad? I mean, there's got to be some secret I didn't know of something. Go watch the movie and see. Nope, it's just that simple. They were that corrupt and that stupid. So I'm going, okay. So the first hour we had James Corbett on. You know, the second hour we had Patrick Wood, Technocracy Rising guy. And then, of course, you. So today is a, you know, scare the crap out of you day. Now,
well, people need to be scared.
Yeah, I just want the solution. Just skip to the end and bypass their whatever. And it seems like they're trying to make it illegal. You're not allowed. Now, how much time do I have? That's 1, 2. Okay, this is a 2-minute trailer. I'm going to go ahead and play this. Okay, it's a Ukraine uprising in Kiev, and it has, you know, the battle wages. It's kind of Tiananmen, you know, Tahrir Square kind of thing. Now, what they were saying is that they had Ukraine breaking away from Russia. Now they wanted to have them in the European Union. And the real battle with the youth is that they're saying, no, we want to be a European country. You don't want the Soviet type. These young kids had grown up from the time that they were born in the mid-90s after the fall of the Soviet Union. Well, they never really went away. They put their guy in. He's doing treaties with Putin. They don't want to be with Putin. They want to be with Europe, but they're just as bad. I mean, you know, they don't know any different. And so it kind of comes down to who's going to control the individual lives of. Well, these students would not leave. The thing was, is they would beat the living crap out of them with batons and so on, but they weren't shooting them until later. When that started, these kids finally get up and they go, you know, blah, 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 parliament, you have, the president is gone by 10 tomorrow morning, or we're going to live round the fire. You're already killing us. You don't want us to go get guns. And I was amazed at the restraint that these groups had. So they're just like saying, tomorrow at 10 a.m., we arm up and here we go. Well, eventually they get rid of him, but then they had the war anyway. What I got out of this documentary, it was amazing how nonviolent they were for how long they were, and it demonstrated the people came together and just went, no, we're not taking it.
That's very good, yeah.
But it was a fantastic video in relation to what's going on in Oregon. And I'm going, if you start off with guns, you're not even going to get that far. You know,
no, they're waiting on you.
They need you to do it that way.
Yeah, I want you to do it that way.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we've been playing part of a documentary that I was really influenced by. Just a couple of nights ago, I watched it, and it was about what happened in the Ukraine. Now, this is right during the Sochi Olympics. Okay, this was, all of a sudden Ukraine's in the U.S. and the CIA, everybody had their, but you didn't really get a feel for what was going on the ground. And I'll tell you, it was very illuminating. For months, people were just, no, we don't know. We don't want this guy, we're, no. But they really, it kind of, at first it was, oh, we want to join the European Union. Well, they didn't know what the hell was going on. And as time went on, they're going, nah, we don't even care about that. We just want autonomy for the people. Get rid of this corrupt guy, corrupt of the corrupt. And they were exchanging one corrupt for another corrupt of the Nazi we were still funding from the Congress corrupt. And I'm going, they just reissued more funding for the Ukraine government. We rule you. And it's gone to the civil war with Russia and some of the pro-Russia. Who cares? I'm like, am I allowed not to care? But what I got out of this documentary was a totally different tactic of Generation Next that just said, no, beat us. We don't get, no. You can't come in, no. We're pushing back, no. And then they just started shooting them. Who got the high ground then? They went up and they said, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., the president is gone, or we go to a violent revolution with bullets, here we come. And you guys really want, you want to play? Let's play. The president's gone. But then what happened? Ah, same old crap. These are young people. They didn't have the benefit of John Whitehead's prose in at the Rutherford Institute to understand what's really going on. Now, the guys, I know Ammon Bundy. We've had hours of conversation. I get it. Met him, spoke at some events together. Yeah, I get it. He was filled with righteous indignation of we can go and fix and do and kind of and God's on our side. And he went with a gun and taken over a federal building. And I'm like, what the hell did you think was going to happen? So I'm, let's start from there, John. Help me understand, did they make an error or something? Did they bring attention to something? Was there some benefit out of this? What do you think is going to happen and what would have been a different tactic they might have done?
Well, people will listen, but like I said, my book, Battlefield America, I have a whole section on what I think people can do. The most successful, I would say, in the last 60 years, activist was a guy named Martin Luther King. And, people bash on him still today, but he was organized. He did strategy. He said, he saw right away. He had a gun in the early days. People didn't know that. He carried one in his glove compartment, but he found out where he was at in the South that wouldn't work. So he went to nonviolent tactics and found out that worked very well. But you have to plan it very carefully. You have to get a lot of people together. You have to take time. He had marshals and leaders that were all trained, and he was ready to go. I think that's why he got a bullet in the head. He was very, very effective. So,
well, he learned this from Gandhi. I mean,
Gandhi, but also a guy named Tolstoy, by the way. Tolstoy is the father of all this. People forget Leo Tolstoy. He wrote the book that Gandhi read that made Gandhi what he was. People forget that. But Tolstoy was an anarchist, by the way. He didn't believe in any government at all.
What did Tolstoy have to say?
Tolstoy basically said government was evil and corrupt, and it corrupted citizens. And at the end of his life, he was one of the richest men in Russia. He grabbed his walking stick and walked away, driving his relatives crazy, basically. But he came to the conclusion. But he wrote his book, The Kingdom of God is Within You. I encourage people to read that book. Gandhi read it. Gandhi then had a Tolstoy commune later on where he taught and gathered people together. But that he and Tolstoy, near the end of Tolstoy's life, actually corresponded, and he learned this from Tolstoy, that nonviolent, basically organized. One guy, some guy challenged me recently and said, listen, I'll only give you 2 minutes to speak at a city council meeting. What can I do locally? Well, listen, silly, get 50 people outside with picket signs and line up, and the politicians listen. You got to get organized. It takes work. But listen, the average American today, as I show in my book, Battlefield America, is watching 151 hours of television a month. If you're sitting there watching TV, folks, you're not going to be doing anything. The average kid today is watching 20 up to 20 hours a day, they're saying now, some kids. Video games, screen devices. And that's exactly what they want. Everything you watch on TV and your screen devices is controlled by the six mega corporations that work with the government. So what do you think is happening to your brain, folks?
I wonder if you could make a break. That'd be a campaign. They go, 60 minutes of play, 60 minutes a day of play, NFL, 60 minutes of play. I go, how about a month of just off the screen?
Yep.
Pick a month.
I stopped watching television 3 years ago. And you know something? When I see it today, I jump back at what's on it.
You know, we don't
want... Listen, television is a drug, and people are drugged by it, and they sit and watch it, and they believe what's on it. But folks, think analytically, read. And trying to get people to read a book that has the answers in it, the stuff we're talking about now, like Battlefield America, it's tough.
Yeah, does your book, do they have pictures?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Oh, that's all different then.
Many pictures to show you exactly what's going on. And the point is that what King, Gandhi, all these great activists found out was, is if you organize nonviolently, the government scares them to death. They feed off of violence. Violence is the one thing. I mean, they were waiting for something to happen, and they knew this, that if someone appeared to be going for a gun and they shot him down, executed him, most of the mainstream press would go, oh, okay, yeah, all right, let's go to the next story. And they did. The mainstream media?
Yeah, I saw the video, and without
the... If it had been someone on the left that had gotten shot like that, they'd have gone crazy.
Yeah, I saw the video, and without the sound or being there, you can't really tell. He came out with...
You can't really tell, no.
Yeah, he came out with his hands up, obviously, and what happened...
What I'm saying is, there's a guy that jumps out behind the bush behind him. All he had to do was tasering.
Yeah, for all we know, maybe they did. Because what happened is he puts his hands down and he grabs something, like they shot him or something.
He got shot, yes.
They were saying that, you know, he was grabbing for something.
He would be alive today if they used the tasers and all the nonviolent phrase they have. Yes.
Well,
they don't do that, though. There was a reason the guy was killed.
Okay, how was it that his...
It's a warning. If you do this again, we're there. But listen, I do the research. You know, realize people don't know. Since 2006, $71 million has been spent on all the federal agencies getting grenade launchers, firearms, helmets, body armor. They're armed to the teeth. You have a federal government. In that same period of time, $330 million is spent by the FBI, the Secret Service, and the DEA for all their body armor. So you... We have what's called a standing army on American soil. It's not aimed at terrorists coming across the ocean. It's aimed at American citizens. It's the same thing George Washington said and Jefferson. They all said, do not allow a standing army to... It's here, folks. We're in
How did Bundy's brother, Ammon's brother, get shot? I don't even know what the
really
circumstances...
I don't know the true facts about that either. You read different reports. But here's the other thing you have to be conscious of. You can have an uprising, but and we can maybe talk about this after the next break, is that they know everything you're doing because they're watching everything you're doing.
Yeah, Jade Helm, and that was going on here in Arizona. Going to have a meeting about Jade Helm. Ooh, the federal's got a golden marshals of the, you know, law. We got to go. Yeah? How many of you got your cell phones on you right now? You're done. You know what you think is going to happen? This is not how you're going to fight this. It's got to be opinion. That's my whole focus, is just, you know, what happens then if everybody has the opinion government sucks? I don't know. That's an individual thing. You know what
yep.
I mean? I know a lot of the guys we have, I can't even keep track of all of them. You know, like Pastor Williams, he's all been, you know, doing this. You know, Patrick Woods has got an idea of how to, you know, fix it. You got to, you know, it's a play. We go, come together. And I'm going, yeah, I'm you know, fine. I mean,
that's a good phrase. That's John Lennon. He was saying that, by the way, in that song.
Oh, I'm just...
Drop the differences left and right and come together.
Yeah, come together in a form of a opinion. And the action, everybody wants to be, you know, yes, follow me into the mall of, you know, get in line. And I'm like, how about not? I just want to have the opinion. Then what? What are you going to do about it? I don't know. That's an individual decision. It's just everybody has the opinion of not buying their electricity, getting electric cars, having solar energy, doing aquaponics, moving out in a rural area, being able to just, you know, barter between each other using silver and digital currency, get off of the internet grid of I did my satellite base. It's just opinion on everything. And I'm going... That is the power, in my opinion, where nobody is in charge, decentralization of effort of every individual, and they don't go to your government schools. So when that happens, all the other is just a mop-up operation. And if you think that you're going to have some kind of new and different collective to beat up collectivism, I don't see that benefiting. Your opinion may differ, and share it with the audience.
Yeah, I do, you know, it's... I do know that effective, like you said, come together, different groups getting together for a common cause does work. They don't like that.
Temporary, voluntary alliance.
Politics is about that. It's conquer and divide.
I'm not a temporary, voluntary alliance. I don't have a problem. I work with 15 gazillion groups. I may not, you know, work with them again for 2.5 years. Call them, hey, we're doing this. Hey, that sounds good. We overlap. Boom, you do it and then done. Go to the next thing. But everybody wants to build the big, giant, you know, NAACP of the Southern Poverty of the Rutherford, you know, technocracy new plan of join my club. And I'm just, you got a plan, John. Say it. Just come back and you say it and you tell me what the plan is.
Okay.
Because damn, skip to the end, you know?
Okay.
All right. When we come back, it's going to be John Whitehead's plan. All right.
All right. Thank you.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, we're going to take care of some business. Take care of business here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. John Whitehead, Rutherford Institute, has an opinion. He has several opinions. He knows what we're up against. He's certainly articulating that, and is getting biased by it. But he has a plan. Got a plan. Everybody's got a plan. Central plan for freedom of the plan. All right, John, tell me all about the plan. Go.
Well, it's not a simple plan. In other words, you can't walk out and it's going to happen. You're going to have to get together with your neighbors. In fact, several groups that I've spoken to now, what they're doing is they're not close together physically, but they're meeting by phone on a weekly basis, discovering what's going on in their town so they can go down to the city council meeting and get things changed. The first thing I tell people is realize that the system we have now across the country, even in your local communities, because the federal government's tentacles, like an octopus, reach everywhere, does not foster freedom. And it's not going to do that. The only thing that fosters freedom is you. Democracy starts with the individual. The second thing that I tell people is you can get all excited about the elections and all that, but as I showed, that Princeton study in 2014, Princeton University, showed that voting is practically worthless, especially on the national level. It doesn't provide anything because the people you're choosing, no matter who they are controlled by the economic elites. The third thing is just realize that any true resistance that you're going to have out there, and we've just talked about this, Ernest, is that you're going to have to step back from your screen devices. It's an addiction by most people. You're going to have to listen. If you're watching 151 hours or so many hours of television a month, I'm telling people is give me one-third of those hours, intentionally set those aside, to get together with your neighbors, your friends, and your local communities, and get down to your local city council meeting and have them send a message to Washington, D.C., your state governments, that they're not going to abide by the laws they're passing, such as, again, the National Defense Authorization Act, which allows the president to send the military to your door and take you away to a concentration camp, essentially. Because why? You're an extremist. And what I'm saying here is, and this is the key in this country, this is what the founding fathers of our country envisioned. I mean, how many of your people, if I use the word federalism, know what I'm talking about today? Federalism was the basis of the republic. That's different levels of government, and they were all semi-autonomous. Today, all levels of government basically are run by the federal government through funding. Your local governments, if you take them over, can nullify acts of Congress. They can nullify state laws and say, we're just not going to abide by it. Nullification is a constitutional doctrine. So what I'm saying is, act locally, think nationally, and say no to the federal government.
But not as an individual.
No. One person. I mean, we were talking earlier in the break, and you said come together. That's a good idea. You're going to have to get out there, though, and get someone who can deal with different groups and their ideas. I mean, I've worked with every group on the sun, left wing, right wing, libertarian, in the middle, whatever you want to call them. I'm not political, and they know it. I meet with them, we work on cases together, we shake hands, and we walk off. You can do that. But if you're like running around screaming, I'm a Democrat or a Republican or whatever, I'm telling you, that's not going to take you anywhere, folks. It's just not. Again, the studies show that does not work. Voting, essentially, in this country right now on a national level doesn't work. On a local level, however, Listen, I always say, one guy at a city council meeting with a sign is considered a weirdo, three people are considered a movement, 20 are considered an amazing threat to the political structure, and also running for government. That's what Martin Luther King, as I show in my book, Battlefield America, he understood that. He got all kinds of coalitions together, and he marched on Washington. By the way, and this is what, the last essay he wrote, he died before it came out. He was shot, again, like I said, in the head with a hollow point bullet. He said what we need to overcome the government no longer listens to us. He said they no longer listens to us. He was talking about the federal government. Is militant, nonviolent resistance. Are you willing to go out there and stand and that cop comes on the street corner and says, listen, buddy, you don't have a right to be there. We defend people like that all the time. King says, don't move. If you're an American citizen, you have free speech rights. Well, listen, I talked to law students today, and I say, can you tell me what's in the First Amendment, the five freedoms? I can't. Law students don't know. They look at me blankly. I ask average American citizens, what's the Fourth Amendment? They look at me like, what is the Fourth Amendment? They don't even know that it's the anti-police state provision. It says the government can't do surveillance on you, touch you, without evidence of criminality. The government today reads all of our text messages, emails, everything. They arrest people. They crash through our doors in the middle of the night. SWAT team raids. It's going to get worse, folks. Remember I talked about threat assessments? They're going into the pre-crime mode. In my book, Battlefield America, I talked about the movie Minority Report. That's what Philip K. Dick was predicting way back in the 50s and 60s is pre-crime. They're into that now. They're watching everything you're doing. If they think you're a criminal, they're going to come to your door, and they're going to be agitated, folks. So you know, better get
– listen,
here's the last thing I want to say. Education precedes action. Watching a screen device is not going to educate you unless you're reading – articles that have meat to them, articles about freedom and coming together and fighting back.
There is a, we know some, law enforcement people, Infusion Center, this and that here in Arizona. Yep. You need any help, let me know. They were telling me, I was talking to one of the guys around social function and one of the big boys in the Fusion Center, and he goes, yep, we knock on people's door. We peruse Facebook and we got a Durka Durka Jihadr that we think and we come up... Hello, we want to explain it to you as a favor to them.
Mm-hmm.
We're just being nice. You might not ought to do that, and you're on the list. I'm going, God, what's the criteria for that? And who tells you? And what analytics are you using to trigger in somebody in the 3x5 card of what level of all of a sudden a SWAT team and kick in? And I'm going, how is this knock on door generated? And I'm just, and you ask these questions, and it just, and they don't want to talk about it anymore.
Well, listen, in this state, and I'm in the state of Virginia, and they have this in many states, it's called a welfare check. We have a case right now where a guy argued with his wife, said, I need a vacation. He told his boss, I'm going to leave for a week and go hunting. He walks and starts, goes home, gets his clothes, gets in his truck, SWAT team surrounds him. The boss called the police and said, you need to do a welfare check. What that is he said, and this is it. This is the threat assessment. They surround his truck. They smash the windows of his truck out, and they slam him face down. The cops admitted on their cam recorders they should have been there, but they did it anyway, a welfare check. This you're going to see happening across the country, and let me tell you something. It's already happening a lot, but listen, the mainstream media does not report these things. 80,000 SWAT team raids where they're going through your door in the middle of the night and many times in the wrong home. That's the end of private property, folks. There's no such thing as private property if they're doing that. And they don't care about your civil liberties or your rights. And the reason they don't care is because you're sitting there and doing nothing about it. So what I'm saying is, and here's the key. We the people, that's the three words that starts the Constitution. What's that say? We the people, we are the government. Obama's not the government. Your mayor's not. We're the government. They're supposed to be representing us. They're supposed to be looking out for our interests. But they can't be looking out for their interests. There's 131 lobbyists per congressman. Who in the hell do you think they're listening to? You or the guy with the jingle in his pocket?
See, I'm telling you, John, I understand. Yeah, maybe it's a generational thing, a perspective of how the system works, and I have like Joel Skousen on would sound very similar, maybe even Patrick Wood. You got the mindset that we got to come together and resist and go up against and we're going to win. I'm going, no, you're not. until you have just the general opinion, because it was on South Park, because Family Guy said, because some anywhere documentary of some, just I vote no and just pull out of the system rather than trying. We just talked about in the first hour, what is it, Maurice, what's his name, you know, that head of every single freaking environmental movement of whatever. Everybody joins the group and then your efforts are being used to further the desires of they, them, those.
Exactly.
John Whitehead, Rutford Institute, we're going to talk about it because there is a solution. I get, but for what? For a group, a country, or the individual? Where's the focus? More when we come back. John Whitehead. Yeah, come on, man. I mean, you watch that Ukraine thing. I thought that was an awesome demonstration of just an entire generation of just no. And we've seen it in Tiananmen Square, Tahrir,
I'm occasionally invited to speak to this generation, the people in college now.
Yep.
What blows my mind, University of Virginia, one of the best universities in the country, in their classes, and they look at me like I'm from Mars. They don't know anything, any of this stuff that's going on. They have no clue. They know what's going on the Today Show, but they have no idea when you say SWAT team race. They go, what's that? And you go, this, and you go, it's all, they look at me and go,
Because they're sucked into the more strong global stuff. There's always controlled opposition. How would you be any different than controlled opposition?
They're watching, they're not doing. And I'm telling people, we should say this, education precedes action. And we have to educate you. But your programs are good. We can get more people. Yet you've got to get it out there, and you got to keep yelling till the end. That's all I can say, folks.
Yeah, I'm.
I've been doing this for 40 years.
Me too. 25
and
years.
It's easy to give up, you know. But it's. I tell people I'm gonna be kicking until the day they
I'm telling you, John. I have so much satisfaction and so much that has been accomplished and done, and the attitude. Changing because I'm looking at a different metric. You know, everybody has just kind of, it's like, you know, like Joel is all about, well, you got to do it through the proper channels of Congress and getting elected and do in Washington and come together and we vote an opinion of the poll. I'm like, whoa, freak. Seriously? You think it's going to be a governmental political solution? You know, I'd rather have an electric car be the, you know, salvation of freaking everything, which is why they killed.
Well, see, but people don't know. It's just like when I did that commentary about a month and a half ago, I think it was, on the underground bunkers, Washington Post. People didn't know this. It's freaking me out. But it's been out there for years. Education precedes action. That'll woke some people up.
Okay, saying, good
hey,
point.
I'm ready to do something about this.
Why was it that all of a sudden this stuff has been out? If you look or you hear or what, how is it that all of a sudden they go, whoa, this continued government, project of continuing we rule you stuff in the underground bunker, that's real? And why would they care now? Why would it get out now? Why would they be concerned now? Why would it hit more eyes and ears now? What's the difference?
I had to go back 10 years to find the Washington Post article.
No, I mean,
and dig it out.
No, I mean, now that people are starting to see this and go.
Some of them are. I mean, there's some programs out there, you know, that are talking about this stuff. You know, the Philip K. Dick, you know, the Man in the High Castle. Did you see any of those?
I've seen the.
Philip K. Dick was a prophet, but he predicted basically the Nazi takeover of America. And to be honest with you, I think that's exactly one of the things. There's much like that. Today.
I saw the first one or two episodes.
Yeah.
And so I kind of get it. It's what if the Nazis won kind of thing. Yeah. You know, but
what he was saying was the Nazis won. I've read his materials.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's what he was saying. In fact, I quote him in my book, Battlefield America. He says that. Yeah, he said the Nazi mentality passed to the whole world. I agree with that. It did.
Yeah, they got paper clipped.
As I show in my book, the FBI in 1938 sent their agents over to study with the Nazi police. They loved them. Edmund Patrick Coffey, he put out quotes saying how great the Nazi police were and they were going to use their tactics.
See, this makes my point, though. There's no collective solution to this stuff. It always gets co-opted. It's just a general knowledge, opinion, reading. I got a couple of books. What brought down the wall, you know, the Berlin Wall, was a book. I mean, you know, it's just... People, it's not a collective thing. It's just they all show up at the Village Green and go,
that's
eh.
And how do you get people motivated who are sitting in different rooms? Listen, I go into restaurants.
All right, here we go.
Today.
Let's talk about it.
That shows.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back with John Whitehead, Rutherford Institute, as we go to the archive and you can mop up the blood from the walls and on the floor, and we're going at it, okay? This is the one thing that I want to make sure that John expresses. There is, we had a television crew from Germany came one time in late, it was 98. It was spring of 98, I remember. It was right when we were opening our restaurant. And they came and they spent days. They went to church with me. They met with, you know, different, you know, like later Congressman Trent Franks, I went to church with, and they interviewed him. And they went out to Ben Avery shooting range with me, and I wouldn't talk to him until they shot, and they were all freaked out. You know, and actually, you know, the sound guy, he getting all into it, man. He's like, ooh, this is fun. You know, then, and today I'm going to go the shooting range with some Polish interns that are, you know, we've known before, and we'll talk about that tomorrow.
You just put your name again on the list for a threat assessment.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, but what's interesting is when we go up to Ben Avery shooting range, it's run by Arizona Game and Fish. So they're just going, it's a municipal, this is a government thing? I go, yeah. And they're like, damn, you know. So, of course, they're surveilling and gotten license plate, and I get it. My thing is that, but I'm not assessed as a big threat, I would think, because it's not a group, an organization.
No.
Like the Lovolution. This Ron Paul Revolution, where's the head of? There wasn't one. That was the power. And that's my point. As we're going through the discussion of what can and should and will be done and that we can do, is it's just opinion. And I'm going, I opine that they suck. Freedom, good. Government, bad, 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 bad. Then what? I don't know. It's an individual thing. You got to do something. It's what you eat. It's what you want. It's what you read. And then what? We're going to come together to what? To come more together? And who's going to speak for me? Trump? I mean, you know, so I'm not about groups and collectives. It's certainly not an institute, because whenever you create an organization around a movement or a cause, sooner or later,
it gets co-opted. You're correct.
It always becomes more important what's the best interest of the organization than the reason you created it. Not most of the time, every time.
The only movement I saw that wasn't like that was King. King went to the end, yeah, and he got shot for it. If you're really effective, the government's going to oppose you in any way they can. Just like the cases we get where people are organizing protests, by the way, they're doing text messages, tweet, and the government's reading those. They meet with them before the protest and try to intimidate them. So they're up to date on what's going on. And the question is, if you really believe in it, are you going to stand there like, you know, when we get in cases, we just face them down and we continue. You don't always win. Do you believe in what you believe? But you mentioned the state-controlled school systems. I don't think with school systems, the kids coming out of that today. I spoke to a group of third graders not too long ago, and this is what they told me. They said they had like 12 words they couldn't speak. And I said, what are some of the words? And one was the G word, and I went, oh, the God thing. And the little girl went, no, no, no. I said, can you write down the G word? It was guns. And I went,
wow.
You can't say that word? She said, no. So I thought, how in the world do they teach civics in that school? How do they teach what the troops in Afghanistan are carrying in their hands? Are they G's? Are they guns? And that's one thing I've written about. You know that on our website is how they're destroying language. You don't have to educate your kids at home, in my opinion, or private school.
Newspeak,
yeah. Listen, go read the article, The Right to Tell the Government to Go to Hell. The founding fathers, as Justice Brandeis said, they weren't cowards. They weren't afraid to phrase somebody and say, oh, what you're saying is politically incorrect. That kind of political correctness stuff is controlled by the government. They love it. People stop speaking. They stop thinking. We need public debate.
Before we get to the end of the show, I want to make sure we talk about Oregon a little bit. Okay. And so this was from the beginning. I'm going, Ammon may have a plan. I don't know what his plan is, but it's got to be the plan. He's got a plan. Let's find out what the plan is. And it kind of started off after I certainly watched that Winter of Fire, Ukraine story. It became obvious to me what the problem was. If you're going to have, and this is what I was going to say about this crew that came in from Germany, is they really wanted to know who the leader was. They wanted to head them. You could tell they were just surveilling, you know, for, you know, they, them, those one way or another. But I'm just, so we're going, they're going, when are you going to take your orders? Who gives the orders? And then a good friend of mine, Bob, said, he goes, when you show up at the village green and you're the only one there, it's not time.
Yep.
And I'm going, it's an individual decision. Any group have, so I, there is not a freaking person on this planet, you include anybody, that is ever going to speak for me and my family. That's not going to happen. And for me to sign up and yeah, what they said, that it feels like I just, I, you know, it's part of the same problem.
Yeah. Like I said, freedom starts with the individual. I mean, you are the government, and people forget that. They keep saying the government, and I keep saying, wait a second, you're talking about yourself? Get your philosophy right. And that's why I wrote the book Battlefield America. And here's a quote from a guy named Eric Fromm. He was a psychologist. He wrote years ago. He says, if a man can only obey and not disobey, he is a slave. So if you feel that you can't disobey or you're afraid to disobey, folks, you're a slave. And the second thing is, if your mouth is shut about these issues, you're saying a lot. You're saying just what they want you to say.
But what's the main issue that you would come together in the city council of go whip ass? Because I'm perfectly willing to, you know what? I'm a write-in for Congress. I get to put up
slot,
signs.
Let me give you a few issues. 80,000 SWAT team raids a year where people are getting shot, their dogs are crashing. We got a case in Texas where they did that, slammed the guy face down. Get down at your city council meeting and get an oversight committee that will stop that kind of stuff.
Oversight committee. Describe this oversight committee.
I call it the Civil Liberties Oversight Committee, and some communities are actually starting them. Civil Liberties Oversight Committee is people who get together, they watch their local, what's going on in the local community, they read the newspaper, they pass it on, they get down to the city council meeting, and they change things. Some communities have actually sent the military equipment back. They don't want their cops running around with grenade launchers against American citizens. So, you can do it, but you're going to have to get on the local level. Some people go, well, I can't do much on the local. Oh, that's the only thing you can do. As I show, the studies show that the Washington, D.C. folks, they're not listening to you. They're bought and sold a long time ago.
I'm looking for the...
Act locally, think nationally. You can nullify legislation. I mean, there are a lot of good groups out there. The 10th Amendment Center writes on this stuff all the time. You can nullify actions. You can stand against it. But if you're sitting home on your butt...
This opinion is manifesting itself in the, you know, I see Trump, you know, meteoric and high level of their kind of what of nothing more than a perception that, you know, it's pissing off the status quo. I mean, he said this crazy thing. What do you believe that? No. Well, he said this other crazy thing. Yeah, I'm not supportive of that either. He said all this crazy stuff. Why are you supporting him? Yeah, because he's not them and it pissed him off and I don't care and the media sucks.
Yep.
Okay, so what is the, you know, what do we see in
Ross? I can tell you, folks, I mean, it's proven, what you can vote for somebody in Washington, D.C., but they go into the palace and they live like kings.
Well, Trump's already living.
Michelle Obama's, like, cosmetic and hairdo is like, what, $100,000 a year? You're paying for that. Should you be paying for that, folks? I mean, I'm insulted.
Yeah, well, Trump is going to take a lifestyle, less gilded cage down to whatever. Am I supposed to feel better?
If he does that.
You know, I mean, so what do you see?
My mother always told me one thing, and she was an anti-government person. Sort of passed it on to me. She says, boy, when a politician's, you know, when a politician's lying, his lips are moving. And you know something? That always stuck to me. I've never been proven wrong.
I'm looking for what you think. Give me a prediction real quick of what, in the last minute here, of what you think is going to happen in this POTUS run. We're going in, we just had Iowa, we're going into New Hampshire, any of that stuff
people
matters?
People have to do their research. Google is behind Hillary Clinton. Google runs the world. They set up groups for her in Brooklyn, around the country. George Soros just gave her $6 million. So watch out, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, see, a lot of people, they, you know, are... saying, you know, she's done.
Bernie Sanders drops out. Where is Bernie Sanders going to go? Are they going to get behind Trump? Or are they going to get behind Hillary? Add two and two.
So you're going to have Hillary. What about Jeb Bush?
I faced Hillary in the Paul Jones case. She ran the White House. In fact, when we wanted to negotiate, it's Hillary who always made decisions. I asked the chief lawyer once, I said, wait a second, aren't you going to run this by the president? He said, oh, no.
Oh, so you're the right-wing conspiracy guy, that was you?
But no, they said, yeah, hey, listen, Hillary makes the decisions. She knew what he was doing, but she didn't correct him, obviously.
Yeah, because her dad always wanted a son to be president, and he got Hillary. You know, kind of did it, you know, through Bill. I mean, yeah, the Rod. Yeah, that's why it used to be Hillary Rodham Clinton all the time. You know, because the Rodham family, it's, you know, Bill was just a conduit to Hillary. So this is, all right, you have an opinion, I got mine. I'm just like, you know, we'll talk for a little bit more here. Go to the archive, because we got to finish up some stuff. I'll go ahead and put in the archive, you know, the Winter on Fire link to that movie. You can get it on Netflix. I really suggest you guys watch that. That's a recommended. And then I also put Jack Crameen's. You know, I was thinking, I'm going, where did he go? I started the technocratic guy of God. I found it. He recently died, and he wrote a book.
Understanding Your Credit Score.
Yeah, I was talking about that in the last hour. This Jack Crameen's, National Trade Data Bank guy, you know, on the most trade competitiveness thing. I'm going, what? Whatever happened to that guy? He wrote a book on North American Union in 99, on North America before they even... These guys got a plan, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're moving toward a one-world government. No doubt about that.
So I'm, you know, and so what is the solution to that? You know, it's just an opinion that it sucks, and they're going to do whatever they're going to do anyway.
I agree.
But it's our willing participation in the internet on everything of them looking at how many times I go into my refrigerator and what's in there when my milk expires. And I'm going, so every time I open my refrigerator, it's like going to be opening up a search engine.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden I got ads for stuff.
And your self-driving car, they're coming.
Yeah. They're going to say, we need Tom Cruise to show up at this cell block of he's in a car and here it is.
Yep.
You know, just deliver you. You know, this. So I understand. I get it. My thing is that any collective effort of, you know, we come together to do that, it limits its influence by even being a group. An opinion cannot be measured or contained. It's just there, and it changes everything. So I'm all about, you know, the education and introducing all the stuff that you guys do and highlighting.
Education precedes
stuff.
Action.
Yeah, but the action is what? I break with thee, and I throw dog poop on your shoes. You know, I'm over here now. Okay,
yeah.
So I'm done. And you want a government to rule you? Go to the bar with all the people with dog poop on their shoes and go pick one. You know, but me, I'm done. That opinion just solves everything because I just have an opinion. I vote with my feet. What else? You know, if you got a plan,
Rutherford, we do it with legal cases and getting the information out. So we do what we can do.
Okay, now here in Arizona, we have you know who Patrick Wood is, right?
Yep.
Technocracy.news.
Yeah, I know who he is, yeah.
Oh, okay. So he, I'm going, all right, he's of the same mind. You know, we got to get, you know, it's like I'm talking to the same guy here. They're, you know, but everybody's got a plan, you know? So I'm going, okay, Joel Skousen's got a plan. His plan at the end is a really, really, really good constitution, and we'll really mean it this time. So I'm going, okay, so the manifestation of these plans, let's go ahead and, you know, pick on something. Well, what is it? All right, let's go to the city council of Phoenix, a congressional, what? I made you look. I can make you look. I'm a sign guy. I'll make you look. I'll run as a write-in for Congress or whatever, made you look, or the webpage made you look. I'll say all the stuff needs to be said, made you look. You know, make them, you know, I get, you know, 10,000, 40,000, however many thousand people do the write-in and made them count it. You know, they got, like, I trust them anyway. I mean, I made you look. Webpage made you look. I'll go ahead and make you look. Then what? You know, I mean, it's got to manifest in some way, and I'm just for just, you know, the Leary thing. You know, it's, turn on, tune in, drop out. I mean, that was the biggest threat. That was the threat to the man.
Timothy Leary?
Yeah.
He worked for the CIA. He admitted it openly.
Yeah, that's where he got his drugs. But but my point, the idea of... You know, just not supporting them because they always want you to go into some club. They'll get to you later.
Oh yeah,
you know?
I agree. Yeah, generally, yeah. If you can pull that off,
I'm not about it. It's opinion, and that's where I see your biggest, you know, trait is the books you write, the cases you take on, the information that you share, and you know the means and the education, the goal. Is what freedom is. That's the manifestation of an individual goal is left up to the individual, not a group speaking for me. The second you start inserting the goal is whatever it is, it's not individualized anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Well, Well, I need to know where we can overlap. I'm ready to go whip ass and do something as an individual, or we advocate for whatever and be at a local level of the city of, you know, some candidate, something of sign campaign of kick some butt. But I'm going, you know, it's not, because what happens is that any of these efforts, the first effort isn't really individuals helping with a goal. It's individuals joining a group that then we'll get to the goal eventually.
Well, it depends on who the leadership is, too.
It doesn't matter. It's
today,
the mentality.
They co-opted a lot of them. So
I'm telling you, John, to me, it doesn't matter who's in charge. Hell, if I was in charge of the group, let me tell you the first thing that's going to happen. I got to make sure that we got the group. You know, the group's got a meeting place. The group's got a structure. The group's got a, you know, whatever. Oh, is it going to be 501c3 or not? Is it going to be a C4? Is it going to be blah, 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 blah? How are we going to advocate and what, you know, board of directors of meetings and government forums are going to fill out? And I'm just like, when they did the Free State project, I remember in 03, when I first started doing radio, and they come on, I go, all right, first question, all right, is there a secret handshake? Are you guys going to have a clubhouse? You know, who's going to, and they had a credo. You will move here and make the best effort to do whatever in the way that we want you to do it. So I'm looking for, so that's why I really point to the Levolution was just like I saw in this movie, the documentary about Ukraine. It was just Generation Next saying no. They just said no.
What's the name of this documentary you watched?
It's called Winter on Fire.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that. Winter on Fire. Okay.
Yeah, no. You'll get a lot out of it. I was amazed. That was not what they were telling us on. And, of course, you know, I'm sure they, you know, emphasize whatever the hell they want to emphasize. But it was guys with cameras there. And it was what they thought was going on. They're not looking at Fox News. They didn't give a crap about that, you know. So, but it was amazing to me. And then you compare that to what Bundy is doing. It's not even the same category. Because Bundy, they started with firearms. It would be better if they'd gone and occupied, kind of, we're sitting here and chain link to each other.
They would have got more favorable and broader coverage, yes.
Yeah, you know, something, but it's a lesson.
They don't talk to you and say, what do you think? And they would just ask me what I thought. I would say, here's what you need to do.
Well, I was of the opinion that there's something else. They were looking for a confrontation. They got what they wanted. They had the guy, boom, he's dead now.
Yeah, they got him dead, yeah.
You know, so I'm wondering to what end. I mean, they brought attention to a lot of this federal grab. I mean, maybe you got a, you know, it's like a Sagebrush Rebellion Redux, you know, maybe you got, you know, some information out there, but I don't know. I don't see, if you're going to fight a war, if you're going to bring a gun, you know, plan on using it. I don't know what the hell it's like bringing a pocket knife. I mean, what's the difference? You know, they're going to bring in their drones, a Hellfire missile if we win.
That's what John Lennon said. He said the two things the government can't deal with is nonviolence and humor. And I found that over the years.
Yeah, it's like a Nixon thing. You don't want them laughing at, you know, at you. You can laugh with you, but don't have them laughing at you, you know? So this is where I'm looking. I want to help, John, because, you know, I want to help. I want us to be in I got grandchildren. I got 10 grandkids, man. I'm all over this thing. But I'm just looking, if I'm in the, that's why I was so adamant about not creating a central hub for the Levolution. I mean, there was a big pressure on me for that. They wanted me to copyright it. They wanted to have chapter. They wanted to do, and they, oh, we're going to have a meetup and you should work with, and Ron's having me go to meetup. I'm going, God, you guys don't get it. The strength of this thing is because it's not centralized. That is the point. So it did what it did, and it still has reverberations going on forever. And I'm going, yep, that was a success because it wasn't a big organization. For me to go from that and the demonstrated success of that, of just opinion, to advocate for some collectivized something, it's not going to come from me. But that doesn't mean that we can't work on a temporary voluntary alliance of something here in Arizona, because we got a lot of people. We got a lot of opinion. We got a lot of activists. We got a lot of sign makers. We got a lot of people that are, you know, heck, just Patrick, you know, doesn't suck as, you know, one of the points of information. So I'm going, you come up with something, an idea, you got it. Let me know. I can push a couple of buttons. Man, we can show a force of, you know, some benefit, but not to build an organization. Skip to the end of what you would want that to do and have individuals doing individual efforts towards that effort. But I need to know what it is so that we can organize individual efforts towards that without having to be part of a club or on a list.
Yeah, we're working on a white paper right now. We'll probably release it in about a month or so. Where we're going, I'm going to talk about this stuff. So,
all right, well,
I'll alert you. Okay.
Yeah, I want to help. But you know my mantra.
All right.
You know, it's not, you know, follow me, world, according to fill in the blank guy that wants to be in charge of, and I promise to do it better. I mean, you know, so let me help, but that's going to be my first question. Well, thanks for putting up with me and coming on the show. It was a stimulating conversation on a perfect day to have this. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Peace, brother.
See you soon.
Bye.